For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs, Season 4, Episode Number 7. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
Welcome to 2023, Leafs Nation. Happy New Year, and we hope you all had a great holiday. Merry Christmas, and we hope it all went well. I know that for us, we had pretty good Christmas, didn't we, Sil?
Oh, yeah, we definitely did. It was very lovely. Nice time spent with the family. And of course, we each got a pretty good Maple Leaf Christmas gifts too.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what we used to buy so much when we were back in the day, but now we have to wait until Christmas to get the good stuff anyways.
That's
so,
right.
So what did you get? You go first.
Well, I was surprised by Santa with a lovely autographed photo of Wendell Clark and Doug Gilmore talking strategy on the ice, signed. And I was totally floored by that, framed and everything. It's interesting because I was at one of the games before Christmas, I happened to be walking by the stand that where they have like all of the auction items and that picture was there. And I stopped for a second and I thought, oh, I would love to have that. But then I kept walking and lo and behold, Santa brings that to me for Christmas. And
Santa,
of course,
Santa must have been looking over your shoulder that night.
He must have been. And his source for the gift apparently is a store here in the Milton Mall called Picture Source. And have to give a shout out to Billy and Paul at Picture Source for helping quote unquote Santa pick out this great picture.
Yeah, that's the famous one. I think that Dougie has his glove. He's kind of like leaning against the stick, sort of. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Yeah. And Wendell.
I love that picture.
And like you said, they're talking strategy there. So
yeah, it's gonna really go well on my building my dangle-esque wall.
Yes. Yeah. Which everyone will see once we get into our third period segment. We'll tell you all about it, but how you're gonna see that. But I got two Leaf gifts. I got one, the OVO sweatshirt, which I asked for it, but I didn't expect it, which I thought was quite nice. So I'll be wearing that. And then I got another gift from Santa in the form of Sylvia with the Voria Salming t-shirt that, I think I saw a few of them, but I didn't see this one at all, which really kind of got me in the heart sort of, but, that was nice. So, we always get, some good Leaf gear at Christmas time. It's the best time and it was a good one. So, but for our Leafs, how about our Leafs, actually? It was pretty good for our Leafs the last couple of weeks, I guess. Seems like a while.
Can't really complain.
No. So,
We will find a few things to complain about because, that's what we do. But
yes, yeah. you can't, nothing's perfect, right?
So, no, never.
Yeah. But just to run off a few stats here, going back to November 25th, Scarborough's very own Michael Bunting. My town of Scarborough, my hometown, has Michael Bunting has at least a point in 13 of the past 16 games. Austin Matthews is still at 499 points. So he's one away from from 500 points, and he's done it in 444 games so far. So when he hits the 500-point mark, he'll be in the Leaf record books once again, as he will be the quickest to 500 points. And right now, he has 29 games, actually, to get to this record. So lots of time, even if he doesn't do it tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday night as they're playing the St. Louis Blues. But he has 29 games to get the record, which is currently held by Matt Sundin.
And Marner is not far behind either. And that actually is going to be quite the feat, because they're going to have that franchise, two of the youngest players ever to get to that mark.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's mm-hmm. really unbelievable what they're doing. And it's just so bad, because it's like, it's the regular season and everybody talks about, mm-hmm. sure, that's fine. So you never really celebrate it, and they don't either. It's like they're nervous
I know.
About it, right? So
it's too bad, because it is unprecedented. But, you know, we weren't back in time when, you know, these records were first being formed in a lot of cases. And so we don't really know, you know, how much it was celebrated then either. But we celebrate right. it a lot now. So at some point, they're going to get the recognition, and they're going to be celebrated like forever. As yeah. Leafs greats for the rest yeah. of their lives.
Oh,
it's just
sure.
right now in this moment, you know, obviously we all want more, but you know, they'll get their due eventually. And when they look back on their career, they'll have like an enormous amount of, you know, stuff to be proud of, really, you
yeah.
know,
as Leafs. Yeah. 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 For sure.
Anyway, continuing yeah. on that positive vein, there is also a three-way tie for Leaf scoring, which is also incredible, because isn't that nice to have that kind of balance? And so yeah. as of today, assuming nobody has put any more points on the board as we speak, Willie, Mitch, and Austin each have 42 points. And in addition to that, Morgan Rielly made his return to the lineup versus the Coyotes after being out 15 games with a knee injury. So that is obviously a welcome sight yeah, for all of us Leaf fans.
Yeah. Although on Leaf Twitter, there were already like, I don't understand. Them.
People
like,
want to trade yeah. him?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, but how come nobody ever wanted to trade Mats?
I don't know. I don't get it really. But I mean, there is a really good article in our show notes if our listeners want to have a look at it afterwards. And it pretty much will convince you very much that Morgan Rielly should not be traded. So, mm-hmm. So we'll have a look at our show notes later. And yeah, but I don't understand why. It was the one I re-looked at the game versus Arizona, and it was the game-winning goal where he basically didn't put enough mustard on the shot to get it past the Arizona player, and they came in and they scored it was the game-winning goal. It was the fourth goal. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's been gone for 15 games, so it's like that was his first game back. I mean,
yeah, and that was like
you can't give the guy a break.
and it's obviously towards the end of the game too. He's probably a little bit more tired, maybe a little bit more gassed. You know, that usually affects your head more than your body in yeah. some instances. But you got to give the guy at least the benefit of the doubt for the first game. Come on, I mean, I know it's yeah. Arizona. And that's the problem, really, is that it's yes. against that team, and they seem to have our number, and we just can't seem to find a way to beat them. So we're gonna have to wait till next year now to finally get one past them. But anyway, yeah, it's unfortunate, but yes, everybody read that article and read why Morgan Rielly should stay a Leaf.
And is important to our lineup. That's for sure.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So now it's time to get into the show. And we're going to start that off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run a special Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel where we will highlight our best Leaf moments of 2022. And then stick around for our third period segment, as we're going to announce a few show updates for you to look forward to in 2023. And What you've all been waiting for, we're going to announce the winner of our Merry Leafy giveaway. One lucky winner is going to win tickets to the game on January 23rd versus the New York Islanders. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly, back for 2023. And let's start off with the good. I kind of took a broad approach to my good. It's basically, it's success in low-scoring games through the first 37 games of the season. Like, I'm really impressed with them keeping basically the opposition to two or less goals through almost half of the games anyways, from November. October was forgettable. Forget about October. That was like a disaster. I don't know what was going on then. Everybody was wanting to fire Keeve and trade everybody, blow it up. But then from November onwards, 15 out of 27 games from November and December where they kept the opposition to two goals or less. And for that, to me, it builds the confidence. It builds the consistency. They played with consistency, and that's only going to help in the playoffs. That's what you need to have that. And there's going to be absolutely no excuse about learning lessons and blah, blah, blah in the playoffs when you have all this experience in the regular season. That's what they always say, Sheldon Keefe and every team basically says that. The regular season is kind of like building towards the playoffs and having that experience. So they've done very well in that first part of the season with having those low scoring games, which is normally what it is always in the playoffs. So I'm impressed with that. And especially the fact that they've obviously with all the injuries, like that's again, the stuff that they had to get through in order to win those games too. A lot of them, it really, for me,
the adversity,
right. So that's the word. Thank you for helping me there.
Basically, what they've done is it's like next man up, and they still manage to play the same. And I guess like what you're talking about, it's they look the same every night, you know, we're not seeing these kind of this roller coaster that we've kind of had a lot more of in the past as much. Yeah. You know, they're a little bit closer to the baseline and not really veering too far above or below. And that's what you want to see. Like they've got a structure that they really seem to be buying into. And that's kind of what I notice is that they kind of look the same every night, which is what you want to see. Whoever the next person who steps in steps right into that structure, and they don't really miss a beat there either.
Yeah. And when you're saying about the highs and lows too, it is because I believe they've only lost the most games they've lost in a row is four, right? You normally don't want to go above three, but still it's not so bad. They only had, it was probably in October, that lovely stretch there that when they went out West, that's probably when they had the four game losing streak, but otherwise they've only lost two games and then they end up winning the next game. So they always, that's the balance basically. So, it's just, I hope they can, now that they're somewhat healthy, Sandin came back tonight for defense, and Riley's back, obviously. So hopefully now.
They have a pretty good stretch of home games over the next while. And they're also going to be playing a lot more divisional type games and at least staying within, you know, kind of our conference.
That's what I was noticing in January. So that should be
pretty telling as well, I think. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully they can, you know, keep it going this way.
I'm actually hoping with the Bruins, we were talking off the air here about the lovely Bruins being well ahead of us, 10 points, I believe, in the standings. But yes. I'm hoping they actually, if the Bruins continue like this, I'm hoping that they do the season of 2019 of Tampa, where, you know.
That,
we know what happened there, right? It could be that.
Yeah. The other team that I thought of that way is our team when we had the COVID bubble season. Yes. And yeah, how same. We basically ran over everybody all season long and then got totally burned by Montreal. Like so you always can hope for Columbus. Something like that. Oh, by Columbus. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give the Habs too much.
No. It all kind of blends together eventually. the sour taste, but against Columbus.
All right. Okay, so what's your good?
No. My good, because we've already talked about him a little bit, is Michael Bunting. He has really, you know, considering a little bit of criticism that he took during that October time, let's say, I think some people thought that he was getting a little too big for his britches. But since then, he has really settled in back into his game and is doing all the good Michael Bunting things. But he is really been a very steady component on that top line, and really impressively, you know, he's already got 26 points. He's still drawing the penalty minutes like he usually does, but he's also a really strong defensive player and has a really high plus minus, which I know a lot of people don't put that much stock in. But he's a plus 19 player, so he's not ever going to be, you know, giving you any trouble back there. So, I'm just really impressed with how he's been putting together these games consistently. I don't think we saw the same consistency last year as we're seeing from him right now. So I'd like to see that continue for the remainder of the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically fit in well, considering, I guess, like they start off obviously with Mitch and Austin together and then him on the left side. And then now with Willie taking the place of Mitch and he just keeps rolling along even with the line change line mate change. And like you said, I think it'll be interesting to see when they play Boston. That's the main thing, right? I'm so looking forward to seeing that Brad Marchand.
Pest Michael versus Bunting. Pest.
Yes. Yeah. Just the chirping. Chirp versus chirp. I wonder who's going to have the better one. That's going to be very, because he just, I don't know. I'd love to, if they could put the mic on him, that would be fantastic. They probably couldn't actually.
I don't think so.
Broadcast.
I think they like to think of their show as child friendly. So.
Right. Uh-huh. So that's not what you're saying, with the talk of his game. Now, his game itself, I think, too, is, it's improved. I mean, he was a rookie last year, too. You got to remember that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Right.
So, he's definitely, he's even playing on the power play now on that 5-man unit.
That's right.
Right. So, obviously, Keefe has seen the good.
And he even has one power play goal.
Yeah. Because he's, I think he's not right in front. Tavares is still like right in the doorstep there in front of the net. And then he's just up in front of him. But
He actually has three power play assists, three power play points. He's got two assists, one goal. So,
yeah. So he's contributing there too.
He's producing.
So that's good for our Scarborough boy. Gotta love Scarborough. Mm-hmm. Pump them up. But all right. Well, that's good. But then the team, we're going to go to the bad now. And it's the team that Michael Bunting came from. Okay. So the loss to Arizona. We mentioned this a little bit in the intro, but I don't know what it is about that team. We, in 2022, we were 0-4 and we lost all four games to the Arizona Coyotes. I can't understand. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that arena there, that Mullet Arena, that was awful.
That was an experience.
Yeah.
They actually honestly, when we used to watch the games in the 70s and 80s, it didn't even look that bad.
No, I know.
Like, I can't even understand with the technology that they have that they could not make that better. Like, yeah, that was brutal.
No, it was brutal the way, although they did say if you're there, it's much better. But it's like, yeah, sure. We can't go there every day of the week. So they might just fly down to Arizona.
But, well, no doubt. I mean, it would be definitely an intimate feel and you would be like right there. So it'd be like, you know, everybody sitting in the lower bowl kind of thing. So, you know, fast and action and all of that. So no doubt it would be great that way. Plus, they gave away, it looked like they gave away jerseys to everybody or at least like a t-shirt.
The ugly jerseys, that they had on. I thought they were ugly anyways.
Well, you know what? I thought they were at first, but somehow they kind of grew on me over the course of the game. Maybe it was the bad lighting. I don't know.
Maybe it was. But yeah, for me, it was all bad, that lost Arizona and the Mullet Arena. I just didn't like any of it.
To me, Austin Matthews was even off that night. I don't know, maybe it was still in holiday mode, visiting the family.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but he just did not seem to be himself or clicking he normally does.
All in all, it just was a brutal... and I mean, they were leading going into the third period. That's the first time this year that they lost when they had the lead going into the third period.
Yeah. Right? No, like how you give up that many goals to a team like that. I mean, this is the thing, is what they still don't seem to understand is that every player has a lot of pride and they don't want to be, you know, because they know what the narratives are going in.
Yeah,
Arizona, you know, of course, that adds more fuel to them wanting to give it their all. So they're going to always push that much harder. So you have to give these people respect for the whole 60 minutes, or they're going to make you pay, because there are not any bad players in the National Hockey. Okay, there are some bad players, but almost everybody in the National Hockey League is made there for a reason.
Yeah, they're quality.
And they all have pride.
Yeah.
They've all been the best player on their team at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And so that counts for something.
Yeah. And of course, playing the Leafs always counts for something for every team, but maybe a little bit extra for Arizona. Like, those four games are their Stanley Cup, as we've mentioned several times previously, right? That's their winning their Stanley Cup, because they're not going to be getting there anytime soon.
Right. So I'd like to know what your tally is looking like so far with your.
I don't want to go too bad yet. So I'm going to leave that.
All right.
I'm leaving that.
We'll revisit in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to note how many points, because that's basically 4 points lost for this season anyways towards. So it would have been only 6 points behind Boston if we had got those 4 points, but we didn't. So all right, so what was your bad?
So my bad, it's not so much bad as it's an area of concern,
getting worried,
and that is the goaltending to me right now. And it's just because it seems to kind of be slipping a little bit. Overall between the two, I think Murray has still played a little bit better. But even him, like, he has three games in the last five that are under a under 900 save percentage. Save percentage.
Yeah.
And Samsonov's a little bit better, but only because he's got two shutouts in his last five games also.
Right.
So, but his other three games have been under nine as well. So, I mean, we kind of are getting into the dog days. We have mentioned they've been on the road kind of back and forth, plus the holidays. So maybe they haven't had as much practice time. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, because I think for goalies, getting the repetitions in practice, I think, is a really huge thing. So they haven't been with their guru, Curtis Sanford, for a little while. So maybe now that they're going to be home for a bit in January will help them. But, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of some of the things that we were kind of nervous about at the beginning creeping in, and hopefully they can, I mean, it's a small sample size, so we can't really freak out too much, but it's starting to look a little bit, you know, iffy.
The other night.
Like even tonight, like I just, as we were getting ready to do this, the goal that Samsonov let in, not a great goal. So, you know, the first goal he let in, so.
Yeah, he opened the five hole on the on the short. It was a shorthanded goal too. So, I don't know. Samsonov actually, his right now is 3-2 in the second, but Samsonov has his streak is on the line too because he's 9-0-0 at home. Right, so he's
right.
So if he doesn't win tonight, but he's. It's not that we need great goaltending either. Like we just
don't.
We just need around the 9-10 to 9-15 average. Like we don't need
anything. Well, and truthfully, they're still there.
Yeah, they're there, but it's just this little part of the season right now. These last few games that it seems that Samsonov in particular, I think, is showing what apparently he's always shown before when he was with Washington. He is up and down a little bit. And
And he's like, usually he comes out of the gate really guns a-blazing and starts strong and then kind of peters out. So, but, you know, new team, new gurus, hopefully they can, you know, get his head right. And like I said, I think having more steady practice time over this next month, we'll see if that makes a difference.
Yeah. So I don't know. And then the other night though, versus Colorado, I thought Murray was injured. That's my thing with Matt Murray is I'm always thinking, cause he doesn't, when he gets up in the crease, he's quite slow. And I'm like, okay, I either have to get used to him.
It's cause he's got those long, lanky limbs. It's like a giraffe trying to get up. It's not that easy.
No, I know. And that's the part I think I got to get used to, right? But because he was okay. But so anyways, they both need to, there are things that they can both clean up, I think, in their game. And like you said, now that we're past the Christmas, New Year's, they can hopefully get a little bit more practice time there at home too. Mm-hmm. And and they can get things going again. And I don't know. I don't know if Keefe is going to just keep rotating them. Oh, look at that. Changing the subject here. Scarborough boy just scored a goal. So,
nice.
Yeah. So it's Michael Bunting, our Scarborough boy, ties it up. But so I just happened to turn my head at the right time. But with the goaltending, though, I don't know. Like Keefe has been pretty, except for this last, I guess Murray played the two games in a row and now Samsonov plays tonight, whether or not he's going to keep doing that and how long he's going to keep doing that.
Well, honestly, like unless one of them really starts to roll and look spectacular, I don't really see that there's a reason to. And especially like you mentioned with Murray and his history of injuries, do you really want to push that limit? No. I don't know. Like it's probably best to not. Play with fire there. There's still reason to.
Personally, I think he is our playoff starter and we need him for the playoffs.
That would make sense because he also has the pedigree.
Yeah.
So I think if anyone's going to be given the benefit of the doubt there, initially it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Unless something else happens or Samsonov is rolling with the shutouts or something. Like,
Yeah. All right. So moving on to the ugly, we only have one ugly and it goes back to Michael Bunting. Wow. This is like a real theme here. Michael Bunting, just the whole incident, I guess, versus the Lightning where that linesman, Dan Kelly, shoved Michael Bunting off the ice at the door. Basically, as he was going off the ice, there was some like extracurricular activities. And I didn't like that. I mean, apparently Dan Kelly actually played in the American Hockey League and played against Michael Bunting too. And then one thing I didn't realize was though, not connected to Michael Bunting because he didn't play for the Marlies, but Dan Kelly actually gave an elbow to Andreas Janssen and he got a 10-game suspension for it. Mm. Apparently it was quite the nasty one. So he was a dirty player.
they're supposed to be the ones that, you know, create order, not right. cause it.
Yeah, he's not a player anymore. He's an official.
100%. And yeah. the other thing is if it was reversed, who would be getting suspended for 10 games? Yeah. It'd be yeah. Bunting for sure. And there's not even a word mentioned by the league about yeah. this.
Yeah, that's
it's
the
basically
thing.
On ice abuse.
Yeah. And that's the and
it, in any workplace, that wouldn't be acceptable for a person in a position of power to be manhandling an employee of a company.
Yeah.
In this case, an employee of the league, which is the players.
Like I know the relationship between like the NHL Officials Association and the NHL. Like they obviously, whatever, they protect the officials a lot. They should. But in that case, when you've done clearly something wrong, there should have been at least something like an apology or something mm-hmm. to Michael Bunting, I think.
That's one of the things that I don't like so much about what the league does with them is that there doesn't seem to be any accountability on that side. Like they should have, you know, a presser or statements or, you know, some sort of review of these games and of these officials. Because they do that in basketball, and I think they do that in the NFL as well, where they do review these things, and then they do, when it's warranted, come out and say, we got this one wrong, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, exactly. So
there would be a lot more respect for them and for that side of the league if they did more of that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, I've never seen something like that, like an official to actually... Mm-hmm. push a player like that into the to say you're exiting, and you're really exiting, like shove him right through the door basically. But so that's our ugly. But it's the new year and we want to move on to some more positives, so let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel of Maple Leaf moments for 2022.
All right, so coming in at number three, this wasn't a flashy thing, but it turned out to be a really important thing, and that was the trade to Toronto and the signing of Mark Giordano. I'm pretty sure we could all agree that we don't know where we would be right now if we didn't have him on our team.
Yes.
Because given, you know, how all of our defensemen have gone down one at a time over the course of this young season so far. He has been a stalwart back there and such a good mentor for the younger guys that have been playing. I can't say enough about how important this deal was, and the fact that he, you know, offered to take less, like, you know, they were willing to pay him more, but
he's like the replacement for Jason Spezza, you know,
100%, except on the D side,
which
one could argue is even more important.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 39 years old, which is unbelievable. I looked up
how much
he played during the time when Riley, Brody, and Muzzin, unfortunately, is probably going to be out the whole season, but the three top guys were out. And for five games in December, he played over 20 minutes a game. And in November, he played almost every game 20 minutes a game. And he's at 39 years old. Like, I mean, what more can you ask? And in the blueprint, there was a new, if the listeners out there haven't watched it, they should, the Leaf Blueprint, the first episode for this season, they had him sitting... He's sitting down and he has this, I don't know, it's like a recovery. It's almost like a pant on his legs. Mm-hmm. It's like a recovery. And they're talking to him. Like they did like a segment on him basically. And, but I just thought, geez, those recovery pants must really do something. I should get myself a pair because.
Yeah. Where can we get one of those? I really need those too.
Right. If it's going to help us recover from our, from whatever, I can't even climb 10 stairs or whatever. Maybe I need those, but yeah. And I mean, he's getting the contract $800,000. Like
I know it is a steal.
It's a steal.
100%. Yeah. I have to say, though, like the fact that he was a little bit of a late bloomer probably helps because he's had a little bit of less wear and tear on his body, you know, through the the beginning of his career, maybe. So yeah, he's definitely a spry 39-year-old and he's keeping himself in good condition. So yes, we have much appreciation for Mark Giordano.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's Mark Giordano. So going in, or I guess going to number two now, for our highlight reel of 2022 is Mitch Marner's franchise record 23-game point streak. Mitch, I don't know, he still doesn't get enough credit as far as I'm concerned. Like, there's still people out there that just think he's a regular season player. And, oh, wow, Leafs scored again. I should turn my head more often. but yeah, so his 23-game point streak, he basically scored 11 goals, 21 assists, and he started the run back versus the Sharks on October 22nd or 27th, and then it ended versus the Rangers, and he is, like we mentioned earlier in the intro, 3 points away from 500 points. So, I mean, he does it all. He's on the power, or he's on the power play, on the PK, 5-on-5. They are saying now again, it's just so funny because he's the driver of the line with Tavares. Mm-hmm. And lately, I think Tavares has slipped a little bit. We mentioned in our last show, but I mean, like he just keeps going. And in the blueprint, actually, again, I'll mention it. He's quite funny, actually. Apparently pasta is his, go-to meal. It reminded me of Dougie a little bit that way with the pasta. And
actually Sean McKenzie interviewed him on the way in today as well, and he mentioned the pasta again there.
Okay. so he's a pasta guy,
you know. He's a slider guy. I think they need the carbs, man.
I just think too, I like seeing in the blueprint, like they show him how happy he is, and like just his personality. That's what you need. You need a guy like that on the team too. Like, even when things aren't going so great, that, you know, he tries to bring positivity into it. And he's a fantastic player, and we're lucky to definitely have him on the team. To have all those three players anyways, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews, like, I don't know that the Leaf fans of this day really appreciate them enough. But Mitch Marner is our number two on the highlight reel.
Definitely, he is a worthy recipient of that honor. And of course, in our number one spot, it's his bro, Austin Matthews. And this list obviously wouldn't be complete if we didn't mention him, you know, racking up the awards this year, which is just unprecedented for any Leaf of any era, winning the Hart, Ted Lindsay, and the Rocket Richard trophies in 2022. And in particular, I think that the Ted Lindsay is so meaningful because that is voted on by the players. Yeah, it was a very special season last year for him. You know, this year he's a little bit low key, but he's bringing other things to his game and making his teammates better. So I think that's what he's added to his arsenal this year. And I have no doubt that we are going to be seeing some other special fireworks from him come the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. I think he's actually...
He is reeling it in and holding it all in for that. Yes, and he's just going to explode. That's what I feel.
He's playing really well now. Like, he's playing the complete game, but I think he has another level. He has another gear, and he's going to show us that gear in the spring, in late April.
I think he's definitely one of those guys that, I don't know, it's just something about when I watch him play, I feel like it's very calculated. You know, he's just got this intensity about him. And I just feel like that whatever he puts his head to, he does.
Yes.
Regardless, whatever it is that he decides that he's going to do. That's why, like, every season, you know, he's like, I'm adding this to my game, and he does it. You know, and there's always incremental, continuous improvement. And so I think he's already decided what that improvement's going to be this year. And we haven't seen it yet because we aren't at that stage in the season yet.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the meantime, he's still very much contributing to the team.
100%. Yeah. Like he's clicking away. Success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I still don't think for last season winning those trophies, like especially the Hart Trophy, the last time a Leaf won a Hart Trophy was 1955.
Ted yeah. Kennedy. There should have been almost a parade for that because literally it's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
But there was hardly any fanfare for it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's because of it what we said earlier, that they cannot celebrate this because of their lack of playoff success, which is
yes
yeah in a way, but anyways, that's the way it is. But we want to celebrate it and give him our number one spot for our 2022 Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. But we do have a couple of honorable mentions. What did you want to mention?
Well, this is not a Leaf story, but come on, we have to mention Connor Bedard's goal to win the game last night. Okay, like the one thing that does I'm a little bit cognizant of is it was the quarterfinal game, so we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but that goal was ridiculous. It was so beautiful and not the typical goal that he's been usually scoring in this tournament. And he just undressed that guy. I felt so horrible for the goaltender because he played so well. And the amount of shots that he got off on the goaltender too, like even prior to having that goal, he was just shooting from everywhere. And that was just like, he's another guy, same sort of mentality. He decides he's going to do something and he does it.
And he does it. And he's only 17. Yeah. That's the scary
My daughter thing. Is the same age and she's like, she loves him, but she hates him. She's like, nobody my age should be this successful already.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Anyhow,
that was a beautiful goal that he mm-hmm. scored last night, the deke on the goalie. And I felt bad for the Slovaks as well.
It's like, always tough.
Yeah. So they played a really good game. They really, but.
I mean, well, like they came back and they, you know, really, really fought hard. And I think that's good for Canada, to tell you the truth.
Their next opponent is going to be the U.S. So
yes,
we'll see how that goes. But mm-hmm. And then another honorable mention is just the goodbye and the ceremony that we had that the Leafs did for Boreas Salming. That was something incredible and something we'll never forget. I know that. And he was such an important person to the organization, being a Leaf. And he's gone now. It's hard to believe, but there's going to be a movie coming out of him too. Finished filming it, I think, and it's supposed to be coming out I think later this fall. There's also one on Harold Ballard as well, which I don't know if I should mention them together, but Harold Ballard actually did love Boreas Salming. He loved
him. He did.
They had
he
some, did. Yeah, they had a special
relationship.
Yeah, one of very few that Harold Ballard had with the players. Not many players liked him, but that was one that he always got along with Boreas Salming, and Boreas Salming got along with him. So, but we will always remember Borea and, and we'll look forward to that film that's going to tell his life story later on this year.
Mm-hmm. So we've covered the Leafs highlights for 2022. And now for our third period segment, we are going to take a look ahead to 2023 and what you can look forward to from us, Ladies Talking Leafs.
Yeah, so the third period, we got lots to tell our listeners about for our fourth season now we're into, and we're always trying to think of ways to improve the show, obviously, to make it more interesting and better for you. So the one thing we're going to introduce is a new segment we're calling What's Up, Ladies? And for this, we're going to have this on a monthly basis, and it's going to be a way for us to connect with you, our listeners, because we want to hear more from you.
Yeah. So what it's going to be, it will be kind of like a Q&A type thing. We want to hear from you with any questions that you want to get our thoughts on related to the Leafs. Like, you could ask us about our personal Leaf hockey memories going all the way back to our experiences in Maple Leaf Gardens or anything current. Yeah. So we're going to give you an opportunity to connect with us and get you on our show. So stay tuned for an update on this new segment on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at LTL1917.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give you more information through social media when we have that all set up. So another thing we're excited about this year is having Mike Ajello, aka Mike in Buffalo, on our show as a regular guest and as our official Leafs insider. We're excited about that Mike is excited too to be on our show on a more regular basis, and it's just that he has access to the team a lot, and he's going to give us a lot of good inside information on the team for that. Both me and Sil and you, our listeners, are definitely gonna are interested in, and something we don't have access to anyway. So he's gonna bring a lot to our show.
And he's been actually a pretty popular guest of ours. We've had pretty good response to the shows that he's been on. We're happy to welcome Mike as the official Ladies Talking Leafs insider.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And another big improvement that we're working on for the show is publishing on YouTube. So yes, folks, that means we're going to be going to video. And it may take us a little while, but we're hoping, you know, we'll get that done in the next couple months for you. So yes, you'll be able to watch us as well as listen to us. We do have some people who do engage with us on YouTube. So this is going to give them a chance to kind of see us in action. So that's kind of an exciting thing as well that we're looking forward to doing. It's going to be a little bit different, but
we'll thank our producer Jenna at Believe Network, who's going to be helping us with this to get on YouTube and it's going to be something different for us. So like Sil said, you'll have to give us a little bit of time to get with the video part of it. It's exciting, and we just need to work out some of the technical part of it, and we'll be up and running so you can see us.
And it's going to give us potentially the opportunity to do some live broadcasts as well, which will be another opportunity to connect with you guys too. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, I mean, we're always looking to make updates on our website. So that'll be throughout the year. We'll be doing, adding to it and improving it. So keep a check on that, ladiestalkingleafs.com. And it's going to be exciting for 2023. And we'll keep you posted on all of this through our social media channels. So be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at LTL1917. And now for the exciting announcement that everyone's been waiting for, the winner of our Merry Leafy Christmas giveaway for a chance to win a pair of Leaf tickets to the game on January 23rd versus the New York Islanders.
And the winner is Katarina Nizic, aka, hopefully I said that right, aka Cat Loves the Leafs. Katarina submitted this review to qualify for our contest. She wrote, "I've been a diehard Leafs fan through the years, and through this, I have listened to many podcasts and opinions from male fans of the Maple Leafs, and I was so happy to finally have found a podcast that I love with two great women." That's us.
Yes.
"Christine and Sylvia articulate their opinions in an amazing manner and effortlessly share their opinions, much of which are similar to my own. It is honestly refreshing to hear and see women have a platform to discuss Leafs hockey, and we cannot agree more." So her favorite episode, she said, is, "Although it brings up sadness, is the podcast right after the 21-22 playoff season entitled 17 Years and Counting." She says, "As I definitely relate to the emotions shared by them both." Anyway, she would definitely recommend everyone check us out. And of course, she finished it off by saying, "Go Leafs, go."
Yeah.
So congratulations, Katarina, and we hope you enjoy the game. We will be in contact with you to confirm the details and the delivery of your prize. Now, we also have a second prize of a Tim's card, which will be awarded to SarahLaurie10. That's her handle on Instagram, at SarahLaurie10. We will be reaching out to you, Sarah, as well, so we can send you your Tim's card. And we want to thank everyone so much that took the time to enter. We are so humbled by the kind words and appreciate you taking the time to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations to our winners, both Katerina and Sarah. And yeah, the reviews we did get were really great, like humbling, let's just say. And yeah, it's like Katerina said in her words, like it's nice to just have that a women's voice basically talking about the game, because there's lots of Leaf fans that are women out there, and
yes, there's lots of us out there.
Yeah, and we're happy to be one of the voices, I guess, to bring us out more into the world. So we're going to move on now just to close out here with the upcoming games that the Leafs are playing. So it's going to be a busy month for the home games starting this week, with the games versus the Blues, which they're currently playing, and the Kraken on Thursday night. And then we play Detroit on Saturday night before heading to Philly for the second half of a back-to-back on Sunday.
Yes. And then next week we have another back-to-back. I was just thinking the other day that we've hardly had any, and so, here they come out of the woodwork. So we have another back-to-back, playing Nashville at home on Wednesday, and then another game versus the Wings on the Thursday night. And then we go to Boston, which is going to be a nice showdown, considering, we beat them the last time, which will be a big game on the Saturday night before coming back home again for a game versus the Panthers.
Yeah. So, it's that game on the Saturday night that's really going to, I mean,
all eyes will be on that for sure. Yeah,
if we lose that one, then we have to get at least a point out of it just to keep keep up with them. Because it is still early, regardless of whether if we lose, we lose. There's still lots of time, because I can't see Boston winning like this for the next 3 months. It's just impossible. I don't know. I mean, we've been saying this for a while now, but it would be incredible if they do. And then, the Kraken, I mean, they've been playing well. So on Thursday night, that game should be a good one. And then the Detroit games, we should win both of those. I mean, I have a good friend that's a Detroit Red Wing fan, but I think that I've actually converted him a little bit to be a Leaf fan. So I think he kind of cheers for
the Leafs. One of your gifts.
Yeah. Converting people. So when I think now it's 5-4. I think Austin Matthews got his 500th point.
Can't see. Yay. So another record for Austin.
Yeah. Another record. As we speak on the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then Nashville, I haven't really paid attention to, so I don't know about them. And Philly is another one that we should beat. So there's three games at least. Detroit, the two games against Detroit and Philadelphia that we should win those games. Doesn't matter if it's back to back or not, but we should win those games. The other ones, whatever. And then the Panthers haven't been doing well at all. So
no,
they've been awful. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So lots to look forward to in the next couple of weeks and in 2023 for our show. So be sure to follow us again on social media to keep up to date on all the plans for our show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Handle is at LTL1917. Also check out our YouTube channel, since we're going to be on YouTube. You might as well check it out there. We actually have lots of videos of games that we've attended, and so you can watch those there. There's warm-up videos and in-game videos, and even from our road trip to Carolina. And also check out our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com, to find out more about us and our show.
And of course, you can also help us out by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. Follow our Ko-fi page, and if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah, and we're going to be adding a few photos from Maple Leaf Gardens. We found some new ones. So look out for that on our Ko-fi page soon if you want to check that out. But as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
And we want to thank you for listening. And until next time, go Leafs, go! Leafs, go.
Do you believe? Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.